Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning to you. Netanyahu has left Washington, or certainly ended the series of meetings that he was having with Donald Trump. But we don't really know. We don't really get a sense of what is going on there. If we go through the Israeli press, it's all about this person close to it and that person close to it. What does it all mean? What did we expect? And were we hoping for some form of announcement? Lieutenant Colonel Morris Hirsch is from the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs. He's the former director of the military prosecution for Judea and Samaria. We wanted to check in with him and to try and understand what this is about. A very good morning to you. What do you think the primary goal of this meeting was?
So, good morning, everyone. I think that there were probably a series of different objectives set out for this meeting. It's really deciding or analyzing and assessing what were the effects of the strike on Iran. Where are we going with the other elements of the Iranian axis of terror? And we include in that Hezbollah. Where exactly are they going in Lebanon? What's happening in Syria? What's happening also with the Houthis and going south? I think there are a tremendous amount of subjects that were on the table for discussion that needed really clarity, or at least putting together some type of operational plan. And I think that all of them were critical for discussion at this time. What will be the future of Gaza? Just as probably one of the easier decisions that had to be made. Mm. All of these things, I think, are critical at this juncture. And I believe they were probably an integral part of all of the discussions that were going on there.
So some of it was transactional. It was aid. It was arms. It was all of these practical things. And then there's the other side of it, which is the vision of the future.
Exactly that.
Right.
How do we get through the next few months, and where do we want to see ourselves in the next few years?
Mm-hmm. What do we know about, or did we expect the meeting to end without an announcement, or were we hoping that there would be more of a fanfare of a lauding of success?
So I think the meeting was very much built up from the start and really gathered that expectation that there would be some type of critical breakthrough during the meeting. I'm not sure what the purpose of. We have to assume that all of that was done for a very clear purpose. I'm not sure exactly what that purpose was at the moment, but if something maybe changed partially along the way. We know from the statements that have come out that President Trump is pushing to bring more countries into the fold of the Abraham Accords. There's been discussion of Syria joining. There's been discussion of Lebanon joining. And it could have been that there was a juncture where that was a real possibility before someone possibly gently got cold feet.
What do we read anything in terms of the fact that Witkoff delayed his trip to Qatar?
So Qatar, I think, is becoming more and more understood as part of the problem and very little part of the solution. And I think that is coming true also in the Washington, D.C. Circles. It's something which really is quite an anomaly. This is a terror-supporting country that funds Hamas, that funds terror around the world, that funds the Muslim Brotherhood, projects this Al Jazeera television, which is just really fundamentally anti every type of Western value possible. And so I think that understanding is coming along with all of their money, no matter what. They are part of the problem. And when Witkoff was only going to go to Qatar if there was going to be substantial progress on the subject of the of the hostages. I think that's the clear understanding. And maybe there still will be, and maybe he doesn't need to go there in order to secure that progress. That seems to be the discussion, as we saw yesterday, when President Trump said that a deal on the hostages is imminent within the next week. I have my reservations about those deals, but
as we do. But what I find perplexing is that there's this almost agreed performative stance taken to Qatar that the negotiations are happening in Qatar and Qatar's pressuring Hamas. But at the same time, as you've just said, they are funding anti-Western democratic value agenda very, very strongly. They fund Hamas, they house them in their region. Why is this being allowed? Why is Qatar not being held accountable as they should? You know, when towards the beginning of the war, I kept asking why all of this, you know, everybody is dealing with everything else but not Iran. Iran was the head of the snake. And dealing with everybody around it obviously was the right approach because it weakened Iran ultimately. But it's almost the same thing here, is that everybody knows that Qatar plays this role, but yet somehow it is allowed, excuse me, to insert itself into this negotiation as though it is a neutral party, which it isn't.
I think the answer, Howard, can be summed up in I think two words: money and influence. Qatar has a tremendous amount of money. They've managed to infiltrate, and I don't use that word lightly. I think it is sinister in its character and in its nature to infiltrate Western society in order to fundamentally poison the well of democracy and of Western civilizations, and is now reaping really the benefits of that of that influence and of that money by ensuring that nothing that can be done against them will be of any effect whatsoever, because they are so heavily entrenched within the societies.
Yeah, it is just really, really just mind blowing to me. I just find it really, really incredible. But that's unfortunately where we do need to leave it. Lieutenant Colonel Morris Hirsch, he's from the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, former director of the military prosecution for Judea and Samaria.